I'd like to begin this morning in the book of Leviticus, the 7th chapter, though. In the 11th verse. It said, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace. The sacrifice of peace offerings. One cannot offer a sacrifice of peace unless he is at peace. It's an extremely important part of it. Man cannot come before the Lord outside of being at peace with him. He must first be reconciled before he can come at all. And he must enter into the upper chamber where the Lord is. And it is not only difficult, but it's impossible to enter in anywhere else or any other way except at peace, which he shall offer unto the Lord, this peace offering. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened waters anointed with oil, wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, a fine flour and fried. It's got to be exactly this way. There's no other way. It's set forth in specific order. It must be done this way. This is the law. It must be done this way. And he said, beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread. It's got to be holy. Complete. He said, with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offering and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall he be eaten the same day that it's offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. It's today. I see in this the day, this is the day of salvation here. It's got to be done this day. It can't be put off until later. But he leaves some open, and he said, but if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, and I see in this humility, it's got to be voluntary. It shall be eaten the same day that he offered his sacrifice, and on tomorrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. It has to be a total offering unto the Lord. Don't take anything back. It's all his. And he's the one that deserves all the praise for whatever we get, whatever we have. Whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual. And then when we offer back, it must be complete, it must be whole, and we not to take full anything back. We might say that we'd lay all on the altar. This didn't always happen with these Israelite people. There's always that but. They sometimes carried all this in a fleshly sense. They done it in a fleshly sense. And that's part of our problem also, that we still have this old fleshly body and we try to offer something of it. As if we could pay the Lord anything except tribute. We don't have anything else to offer. We go back to the cattle on a thousand hills. It belongs unto the Lord. It's just ours to use for a little while. And our thanksgiving ought to be for all those things, but more so for the spiritual things that we're blessed with. We are indeed a blessed people that we see any of these things. It hadn't been that long ago that none of us, at least it doesn't seem like that long ago. And we continue to grow and learn because of the blessings of the Lord. And the only way you can receive it is by His blessing. There's no way that you can study this out and understand it in a physical, carnal sense. That's what's wrong with most of the preaching today. This oblation is holy and unto the Lord. Man must be humbled or he won't come. If he's not humbled, he won't call. In the 19th chapter then, a few verses here, verse 4, he said, here's a warning. He said, turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am Lord your God. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It must be done willingly. Not as though you serve out of some kind of debt. Although we're in debt. But it's not as though we could do something for the Lord in a sense that it would be acceptable. As long as it's in the flesh, it will not be acceptable. All must be laid on the altar. And if you offer a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord, you shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow. And if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. Once again, we're not to take anything from the altar. We're to leave it all at the altar. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be acceptable. A warning here in this fourth chapter is harden not your hearts. That's a warning for you and I today. Harden not your hearts is in the day of provocation. Keep your hearts tender. And I believe that's the work of the Lord. One of the main works of the Lord is that He makes man tender-hearted. If man isn't tender-hearted and humble, he cannot offer any sacrifice at all unto the Lord. He can bring the bulls and the goats and everything and lay it at the altar, but it must be done from the heart. That offering is only from the heart. This peace offering. It's all mingled together. The whole thing, the temple and all the vessels and the priest and the whole thing, as well as that one that goes up and enters in, must be sprinkled with the blood, the atonement, or else he cannot enter in. It's just not acceptable. It's an abomination to the Lord for a man to try to enter in his fleshly state. It must be in a spiritual state. If a man has not the Spirit, he's none of the Lord. So how could he enter in? And how could two walk together and be agreed and not be agreed? This is the Lord's doings and not ours. In the book of Psalms, the 92nd chapter, first, he said, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Where did I say he was? It's in the high place. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. He don't ever go away and he don't sleep. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. It don't sound much like it's music, they call it, we've got nowadays, does it? For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And then there's the warning in the middle of all this. And then in verse 10 he said, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I've always been amazed at this anointing. There's so many pictures in the Old Testament, especially, of the anointing of the Lord upon a man. Man's not anointed with this fresh oil. It's a newness. It's a renewing. And he continues to anoint. He said, mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, in my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that raise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Shall not the Lord of all earth do right? Can't do anything else. So he is gracious unto his people for one reason or another. We're continually being anointed by the Word. It keeps impressing upon his people of his power, his authority, in his uprightness, because that's where our uprightness lies, is in him. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. verse 13, being defamed, we... That isn't what I want. I've lost. No, I'm in. I'll get there in a minute. This way. No, I was in 1 Corinthians, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Now, I don't know that this is the very last day. It may be all along. He said, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, that's an amazing thing. This old body is dying day by day. But the inward man is renewed day by day. By that same grace. We must leave this old body. He said, for our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we look unto the Lord for a finish. Even though the old body is dying day by day, and it must die, that we might be resurrected in newness of life then, unto our eternal glory and his eternal glory. All the same glory. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter then. Verse 15, he said, as it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little hath no lack. That's where the body feels for one another. But thanks be to God. And Paul, Apostle Paul, uses this same statement over and over and over and over. You'd be surprised how many times he said that. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travail with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and a declaration of your ready mind, being willing. And we all have the same mind, if it be in Christ Jesus, to do what is necessary, and that is give thanks unto the Lord. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, we'll finish this up here. In verse 15, he said, by him, therefore, let us offer by him. You get hold of that. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Our afflictions, if we have any, is unto the Lord. Isn't that something? He can take that and turn it around and make it a blessing. But to do good and to communicate, for to get not, for with such sacrifices. This is our only thing that we have to sacrifice, is praise unto the Lord. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we come this morning to offer our thanksgiving. Once again, our sacrifice of our lips unto the Lord. We are extremely thankful for his watch and care.
For my people shall be willing when in the day of my power. Couldn't help but think of Ananias and Sapphira when JT is talking about this willingness. The apostles in the church at Jerusalem sold their possessions and lands and houses and brought the prices of these things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But then there was Ananias and Sapphira, which sold possession and kept back part of it. And Peter then says, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So there was not that willingness there, and it was not acceptable unto God. Again, in that 8th chapter there of 2 Corinthians, the apostle simply says, if there be a willing heart, right, it is acceptable. Not what you don't have, but what you have. But no matter what it is that we offer unto the Lord, it must be by willing heart. But in actual fact, and I think about this often, what do we have to give unto our God and Savior except thanksgiving? And even that, when you really think about it, is because of the gift of God. What a remarkable thing this is. But we can be thankful that he gives us hearts of thankfulness. Like one thing brings on the other, right? It's a continual thing. We give thanks and God gives, and we give thanks and God gives, and we give thanks and God gives. It's just, it's remarkable.